Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Christianity is marked by power, supernatural power. People often ask the question, well, do you believe in miracles today? Of course I believe in miracles today. I believe in God, and I believe in the God of the Bible. So we believe in the miraculous. We believe in the supernatural. And what we're talking about here is something that's supernatural. You shall receive power.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, in a message titled, The Power and the Purpose of the Spirit. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, so we come now to actually jumping into the text of this book of Acts. And let me just remind you that the book of Acts is Luke's sequel to his gospel. So it's the continuation of the story that Luke began, the story of the ministry of Jesus Christ, of course, is what the gospel of Luke is about. The book of Acts is the story of the continuation of that ministry through the Holy Spirit after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. So today, I want to draw your attention to verses 4 through 8. These are the verses that we'll zero in on today. So let me read them to you, verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so these were the words of Jesus, those final words that he left to them before his ascension, that they were to wait for. The first thing he said is the promise of the Father. So what is the promise of the Father? Well, Jesus, in his time with his apostles, he spoke to them about the promise of the Father. He spoke to them about the Spirit. And as you might remember, we read through those portions of John 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus spoke much about the Spirit, the helper that would come, the comforter that would come. And it was there that Jesus said specifically that the Holy Spirit was the one that the Father would send. So this is the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is that the Spirit of God would come and all people would experience the work of the Spirit, that the work of the Spirit would no longer be limited to just a handful of people, that the work of the Spirit would no longer be limited to just one nation, Israel, but now the work of the Spirit is going to extend all across the planet. So the promise of the Father, I think, could really be summed up from the prophecy of Joel, the second chapter, verses 28 and 29, where it says this. God is speaking. He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on all my male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So the promise of the Father is that there would come a time when he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And that time began back in those days that we're reading about here, the days after the resurrection of Jesus and just shortly after his ascension. And it was then that the Spirit of God was poured out and that these things began to be realized. Now, in the second chapter of Acts, we're going to read the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus just made to them here. And as we read the fulfillment of it, when the Spirit is poured out and the people begin to speak in tongues, they begin to speak in languages that they did not previously know, and the miraculous things began to happen, the question from the crowd was, what is this? And there Peter says, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and he quotes this very text that we just read here. So what we're looking at here is God's promise has been fulfilled that he would pour out his Spirit and that all people would be at least potentially able to experience the Spirit. Of course, we have to believe, but for everyone who believes, there's no distinction. God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all of his children. Our sons, our daughters are going to prophesy, and that was the promise that Jesus said was shortly going to come upon them. Now, in talking about the promise of the Father, Jesus also uses this phrase, baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and this again is one of those things that you have some controversy among Christians about. Some people believe that the baptism of the Spirit is something that every single Christian experiences this at the moment of conversion, and it's just that simple. That's what it is. Everybody, you know, once you believed in Jesus, you're baptized in the Spirit, and that's it. Others believe that this is in addition to what happens when you receive Christ, that this is something other than that. It's something different than that. It doesn't make you any more saved, but it actually adds something to your experience. So the baptism with the Spirit, I think biblically you can actually build the case that it is something additional to what we get upon conversion. Now, the men that Jesus is, the guys that he's speaking to right here, note this, that they have already had Jesus breathe on them and say, receive the Holy Spirit. That's already happened. So when Jesus rose from the dead and his disciples, you know, gathered to him over those 40 days, John records for us in the 20th chapter that there's this point where Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I send you, and whosoever sends you retain, they are retained. Whoever sends you forgive, they are forgiven. And then it says this, it says, and then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I personally think when Jesus did that, as John tells us, I think they did receive the Holy Spirit. I think they received the Holy Spirit in the sense that it was at that moment that they were converted, regenerated. It was at that moment that the Spirit of God took up residence in them, like he does in us when we put our faith in Christ. You see, they believed in Jesus before, but Jesus hadn't died and risen from the dead yet. So the indwelling of the Spirit that is common to all believers was not yet their experience. So it seems to me that Jesus is talking to men who have already received the Spirit in one sense, but now he's talking about something in addition to that. So the distinction is this. The distinction is between regeneration and indwelling and baptism and empowering. So the word regenerate means to make alive. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you believe in Jesus, you are regenerated. You are made alive. And you are made alive because the Spirit of God comes and brings you to life and indwells you. That's what happens to everyone who believes in Jesus. But what we're talking about when we're talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit is we're not talking about regeneration and indwelling. We're talking about an immersion, because that's what baptism means, and an empowering. So this is for power. So like I said, I think these guys, they're already indwelt by the Spirit. Now think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus was from his conception filled with the Spirit, right? He's God's son. He's the son of God. So there's never a time Jesus is not filled with the Spirit just by his very nature, but there comes a time where the Spirit comes upon him. We read about it in his baptism. Remember, he's baptized by John, and as he comes up out of the water, the Spirit descends upon him in the form of the dove. The Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And what happens after that? It's after that that Jesus begins his ministry. It's after that that he goes forth in that power to raise the dead and to heal the sick and to cast out the demons and all of that kind of thing. So what happened to Jesus, I think, is the same thing that Jesus is telling these men is going to happen to them. Now, what he's called us to do is to get the message of Christ to each and every person that's on the planet. That's what he's called us to do. You shall receive power. And so that's what Jesus tells them. That's the main thing. But you shall receive power. Christianity is marked by power, supernatural power. People often ask the question, well, do you believe in miracles today? Of course I believe in miracles today. I believe in God. And I believe in the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible and the message of the Bible tells me that the promises of the Spirit, which include miracles, they're for that generation lived then, they're for their children and their children, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call right to the very return of Christ himself. So we believe in the miraculous. We believe in the supernatural. And what we're talking about here is something that's supernatural. You shall receive power. Now, the word here, the Greek word, maybe you've heard this word, it's dunamis. Dunamis, this is the root word for our words, dynamic and dynamite. So if you think of those two words, I mean, you know, when you think about somebody who's dynamic, I don't even have to explain it, right? You can picture that. Or when you think of dynamite, I don't have to really explain that either, right? When dynamite blows up, something happens. So Jesus is talking about us receiving dunamis, power. Now, the word dunamis is translated in various ways, but it's translated as power 77 times in the King James Version. It's translated as mighty work 11 times, and it's translated as miracle 7 times. So what we're talking about here is a miracle. We're talking about a mighty work. We're talking again about something supernatural that's going to take place. But I want you to notice this. When the Spirit comes, and look at the word that Jesus used. Look at the preposition. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That takes us back to what I was saying a few moments ago. We're talking about something different. Now, Jesus had previously said to these same men, the Spirit dwells with you, and he shall be in you. So at the time before Jesus had gone to the cross, the Spirit was with them. Jesus dies, goes to the cross, rises from the dead, gathers them together, breathes on them. The Spirit is now in them. But now he's talking about another experience. The Spirit shall come upon you. You see, the primary result of the Spirit coming upon us is power, supernatural power, God's power. Here's the good news. God has not left us to try to live the Christian life or to advance his kingdom in our own strength. We say that all the time, but we have to realize it's absolutely true. God has called us to live the Christian life, but then he's indwelling us by his Spirit to enable us to do what we can't do ourselves. God has called us to go out into all the world with the gospel. Now, what is the purpose? Well, like we've already indicated, the purpose is, and you shall be witnesses to me. That's the purpose. The purpose of the Spirit is to empower us to be a witness. Now, The word witness, the Greek word is martys. We know that word more familiarly as martyr. When we think of a martyr, what do we think of? We think of somebody who dies for their faith, right? Well, the word became applied to people who died for their faith because they died bearing witness to Christ. The Greek word is a word that really just referred to a witness. It referred to someone in a courtroom who testifies to what they have seen or heard. So Jesus says, the Spirit will come upon you and you will be witnesses to me. God is going to empower us to proclaim the gospel. That's what it is to be a witness to Jesus. It's to proclaim the gospel, or to put it in an even more simple way, it's the power to tell the story of Jesus. And notice, it's Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, of course, that's where it all began, and that's in the people that it began with, that's where they were. But it basically is saying you start where you are and then you go out from there. That's the way things proceed. Now, let me just say this, and I know that you know this, but let me just remind you. This is the need of the moment. This is the need of the hour. What we need is to see the Spirit of God poured out. We need to be freshly empowered by the Spirit. We need this gospel to go forth, and we need to see lives transformed through the power of Christ. That's how things change. That's how society changes. That's how cultures change. It changes because people change. And this is the great need of the hour. Now, that's not to say that we don't need other things happening as well to keep the sanity and to prevent everything from imploding. Yes, thank God for those other things that are happening. But the great need is this. And we are the people. You shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. See, we are the recipients of this. And so as we close today, there's just a few questions that I want us to think about. And number one is this, has the Spirit come upon you? Can you say, yes, I know the Spirit has come upon me? And if you're not sure, then you need to make that experience a reality. You need to make sure that you've had that, because from Jesus' perspective, this isn't really an optional thing. This is absolutely essential if the job is going to be done. Second question, are we witnesses to Jesus? Are we bearing witness to him? Are we testifying through our words? Are we speaking about Jesus? Now, we're going to see again as we go through, you know, you might have a timid personality, which would then, you know, kind of keep you back from that sort of thing, because it's just not your personality. But the Holy Spirit is there to, not to change your personality, but to give you power within the context of your personality. And as we go through this book of Acts, what we're going to see is that we're different personalities, different people with different giftings and things like that, but the power of the Spirit made the difference in everyone's life. But there's not just the witness in word, but there's also the witness in deed, right? We need to be living the life. We need to be living the life of the Spirit. And then, thirdly, are we immersed in the Spirit? Because remember, after all, baptism means immersion. That's the meaning of the word. It means to be immersed. Under the water is the picture. So are we immersed in the Spirit? Are we the people of the Spirit? Are we living with the, not just the consciousness of the supernatural, but are we living with the expectation of the supernatural? Are we living with the experience of the supernatural? You know, it's very subtle, but I know even from my own life experience, there are times when just the world itself just kind of, you know, it's working to take the edge off of our spiritual sensitivity. So we're not even thinking so much in terms of the supernatural. We're not so much expecting the Lord to supernaturally intervene, but we need to be living in that expectation. And if we're immersed in the Spirit, we will be. And so here we go. Two things, finally, because this is the experience that we're all to have. How can I assure that this will be my experience? Well, here Jesus said, wait until you receive power. Now, as a result of that, some people throughout the history of the church have said, well, in order to get this power, we need to wait. And they actually had meetings. You know, an old English word for wait is tarry. So they had what they called tarrying meetings. We're going to tarry. We're going to wait on the Lord to receive that power. Now, I'm not saying that that's an entirely bad idea, but they had to wait for a specific reason, because this event was scheduled for 10 days later on God's calendar. This was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. So Jesus is telling them to wait specifically for that day. So we don't have any specific day that Jesus says, okay, you know, wait till that day and then I will meet you and baptize you in the Spirit. But I would say that waiting on the Lord, or in other words, spending time seeking Him and saturating ourselves in the things of the Spirit, will certainly lend itself to us being more aware of His presence, and it will lend itself to us having this kind of experience versus just going about our merry way and not really taking time to think or do anything about it. So wait on the Lord. Spend time seeking Him. Saturate yourself in the things of the Spirit. You know, we are just so bombarded by everything but the things of the Spirit, right? And so in order to really saturate in things of the Spirit, we have to wait in the sense that, you know, we kind of got to get away from some things. We got to be intentional and take some time. So that's one. Secondly, we are to ask. Ask, seek, knock is what Jesus said. And more specifically, He said, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And in Luke's gospel, interestingly, now Matthew records that same thing for us. Asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. But Luke puts it in a different context. Luke puts it in the context of asking, seeking, and knocking, for your Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, seek, and knock. Luke ties the asking, seeking, knocking to requesting that work of the Spirit. And so, these are the two things I want to leave us with. Waiting on the Lord, asking Him to do this, and expecting Him to do it. But of course, it comes down, even before that, to the recognition, we need this. God, I need this. Lord, please, would You do this in my life? So, let's ask Him for that.
Now, let's join Pastor Brian as he shares about this month's resource from Back to Basics. It's a book titled Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin.
This book is tremendous. Rebecca is brilliant, and she kind of takes on all of the current questions and opposing views that come up against those who hold the Christian faith. And the title of the book, you know, she's confronting Christianity. People are saying, well, Christians believe this and Christians did that. And she's just taking 12 of the current hardest questions that Christians are facing. Questions like, doesn't religion cause violence? Or how can you take the Bible literally? Doesn't Christianity denigrate women? Isn't Christianity homophobic? And she does a superb job in addressing these questions. And I think anybody today who's seriously thinking about what's going on in the culture and engaged in the culture, out in the workplace or wherever, this is a book you want to read, because this is going to tremendously help you to have a good response when people bring these questions up, because many are confronting Christianity, and this book will help you to know how to answer those who are confronting Christianity. Confronting Christianity, Rebecca McLaughlin.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin. You can order the book Confronting Christianity by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, will send you the book Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin to prepare you to answer some of culture's most difficult questions regarding Christianity. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.